views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Please note the interview portion of this program was recorded during the early part of April 2020. Welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? The answer is yes, I did. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc. Club ADHD is presented by our good friends at the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC. And they are the place to go on the web, their website. I can't say enough about it. It's full of information about ADHD. And it can be found at CADDAC.ca. Yes, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada is a Canadian organization, but a lot of the information on their website can be beneficial to people wherever they are, to ADHDers wherever you are in this world. You can incorporate a lot of the information on that website to your lives, and maybe you'll become an advocate, or maybe you'll understand ADHD a bit better. It's all there at CADDAC.ca. CADAC. Now, I have to remind you that Club ADHD, the podcast, is one of a three-prong approach when it comes to Club ADHD. We have the podcast, we have the Facebook page, and the Twitter account. All active, up and running, and we have some pretty good comments on there. People helping people. Adults with ADHD. That's what we're all about. A community that is full of empathy, non-judgmental, and here to, in most cases, help. Right? You've got a problem. We ADHDers can help you find a solution because that's what we're all about. We're creative and we know what it's like. We know what you're going through because there's a very good chance we're going through it or have gone through it ourselves. I hope you're handling this pandemic well. Are you? You're struggling? Well, you're not alone there too. And if you want some help, go to Club ADHD, the Facebook page, and just tell your story. And it's not unusual to be concerned these days. A lot to be concerned about. It's a different world. But then again, we're used to having to adapt. The normal people are dealing with an ADHD brain, I guess, or what it's like to have ADHD. To have no control over things that normally you would have control over, to have to change your life, to adapt to what is required. Does that not sound familiar? I think this will be to our benefit once everything is back to a so-called normal. People will understand ADHD a lot better if we tell them, hey, you know how you felt during the pandemic? That's how we feel throughout our lives. And we have to deal with it. We have to adapt. Not just for a few months, but our entire life. So I think there's a silver lining around that. Now, are you finding it hard to adapt? You're not alone. A lot of things are happening. And we're getting hit with a lot of information. Information that is factual and information that is false. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like an ADHD thing, huh? The thing is that we have to be able to really dissect all the information coming in and figure out what's the real truth and what's just hocus pocus. And that can be challenging. Do you find yourself overwhelmed with it all? Well, again, you're not alone. And again, it's an ADHD thing too, right? Even in the best of times, we can be overwhelmed by just our everyday life. But now with this pandemic, oh boy. The thing is that in my view, I think we have it a little bit better than the so-called normal people because we're used to having to adapt. We're used to an environment where, although we want to do one thing, we're not allowed to do it and we have to really hold ourselves back. The so-called normal people, well, they don't experience that as much as we do in everyday life. So I'm thinking that it might be harder for them to deal with. Then again, if we have ADHD and we're really succumbing to a lot of this, it can really amplify our ADHD, well, symptoms, if you want to call it that. The thing is not to get overly engrossed in all the information that's coming towards us. And yes, we have it coming at us full throttle. And the internet can be a great place, or it can be a place that can really cause some problems. And when it comes to spreading false information, sound familiar? The information on the internet, well, it can be false. Not all of it is truthful. And why, I'm not sure. But we have to really focus in on the truth. And that can be a challenge, especially when the false information is presented as if it's truth. And even with traditional media outlets, a lot of them focus on the negatives. And I'm not saying, oh, this pandemic is full of positives. It has a few positives. But yes, it has a lot of negatives. But sometimes it goes overboard. The media goes overboard. They really pound home, this person passed away as a result of the virus that's going on. And yes, it is tragic. Anybody losing their life as a result of a germ or a virus, whatever, it is tragic. But we have to realize there are far more people who are surviving through this, who have gotten over the virus. Roughly, I'm no mathematician, I'm just doing general math here. It's roughly around the 3% mark as far as people who succumb to the virus, the people who are exposed to it. And I would say the vast majority have other issues that brought their resistance down and made it easier for this virus to really take over their body, and not in a good way. There are some high-profile people who have the virus. Some have passed away. One in particular, I was a fan, I'm still a fan of John Prine, the musician, the lyricist, the talent. He recently passed away as a result of the virus. Now, yes, he passed away as a result of the virus, and how it played a toll on his body, because his body was not really resistant. He had some underlying issues that he has dealt with over the past few years, cancer being one of them. So his resistance was not up there. He had pre-existing situations going on, which made it easier for the virus to just take over his body. Now, if you're healthy and you don't fall within that realm of being a little on the old side, I won't give the magic number because I'm pretty much there too. Do you have anything to worry about? Yes, just because you're young doesn't mean that you won't succumb to it. However, as from what I see, that if you are a healthy individual, you stand a very good chance of it just being very, not exactly pleasing. Some people have had a real hard time getting over this virus. It wasn't a pleasure trip by any means. But then again, a bad case of the flu can be that way as well. The thing is, they got over it. And from what I'm also led to believe, that once you do have the virus, you have somewhat of an immune situation going on, as far as there's a good chance you won't get it, at least for a couple of years if you are subjected to it. The virus is so easily spread that we have to get a handle on it. Thus, we have to stay home and don't give it a chance to propagate, to multiply, because the resources aren't there in a lot of cases to handle it. It's just a supply and demand type of situation, which can be in the virus's favor when it comes to playing havoc to society, our bodies. However, we shouldn't let it control our mind. If you're at home and if you're doing the right thing, that's all we can do is what we can do, right? What we have control over. The things we have no control over, we just don't have control over. And in my view, accepting that is key. If you'd like some more tips about how to handle your ADHD during this pandemic, I would suggest you visit the previous podcast we did. We've got a lot of good information in there. Now, closer to home, I'm going to tell you how I'm doing these days. I'm doing okay. Yeah, I've got my family around me, but to say that this isn't impacting me, the pandemic, well, I'd be lying to say that it's not. I'm handling it as best I can. Now, here's something that happened. Oh, just as the pandemic started to gain steam here in North America, I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the previous podcast, but I'll do it now. I have several teeth, front teeth, that are capped. And one is connected to another one, like a bridge, a permanent bridge, whatever you want to call it. In any case, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I was eating a bagel and I felt a snap. What happened? Well, the tooth that was surrounded by a cap broke. Oh, brother. And out came the tooth. I was able to spit it out. I'm not able to see my dentist because of the pandemic. I'm not sure if I could even pay him, but he's a good guy. I'm sure he'll give me some type of a rate or a monthly situation, but I digress. I did talk to him on the phone, and he said, listen, don't put it back in your mouth if you can help it. I did, and it snapped in there. He said, keep it out, unless someone's going to take your picture or something. Well, I found that voicing things was easier with that thing in my mouth, so I would snap it in every so often, more often than so. And there we have it. Now, the other day, I was going to talk to my doctor. I wasn't sure if we were going to do a FaceTime thing or on the phone. So I thought, well, I'll put that tooth. It seems to snap back in there. And I put it back in. It didn't quite snap, but I wasn't concerned. I could tell if it goes. Or so I thought. All right. After the conversation, I go downstairs and have a teaspoonful of Oreo ice cream. And then I go upstairs and take a shower. And as I'm taking a shower, my tongue tells me something. It doesn't talk, but hey, we got a good relationship going on here. I felt, where is the crown? It's missing. I got a space where a space shouldn't be. What happened? Well, I can only assume, because I know I didn't spit it out, which means that I probably swallowed it. Right. I'm freaking out, really freaking out, because I don't like the fact that I don't have a tooth in the front here. That's one of my big fears, because I voice things, and it does make a difference. And if you think that, well, maybe it is a little bit of in my voice today, that's why. Again, I'm more aware of it than probably you are. In any case, what happens? I can't bring it up. Tried? Nope, didn't work. What's the other option? Oh... All I can say now is the search is continuing. That's all I'll say. But there you have it. That's one of the things I have to deal with. Now, a couple of days ago, I went to the grocery store. My wife, she worked at Costco, and she worked through part of the pandemic. Now she doesn't have to. That's another issue. But, you know, she's used to going out, so she's been getting the groceries. But I thought, hey, I've been in the house for over 4 days, I'll go to the grocery store. It shouldn't bother me. It has never bothered me before, even times when the pandemic first started, the lockdown. I go to the store. Okay, everything's all right. And as I mentioned, we can only do what we can do, right? We can't control what others are doing, and that's the big thing. I'm waiting in line to get into the grocery store, get in, get the items, come back. I'm stressed out. Why? Because I was doing the right thing, but some other people weren't exactly doing the right thing. And I guess it really stressed me out. When I got home, I just didn't feel right. Not good. So yeah, that's one of the things I'm sure you can relate to. I hope you are doing the right thing. And here's another thing. I was going to do this podcast a week and a half ago. I had the interview all lined up, recorded. It wasn't edited. I usually try to, you know, clean it up a bit. And the reason that I couldn't get it done was I started getting migraines. Now, I do fall victim to migraines every once in a while, maybe two or three a year. But I was getting clusters, and they were lasting over a week. Painful. Oh, thankfully, they've subsided. And yeah, I'll get it checked out once the pandemic is done. I have the feeling it's nothing but stress. So even if you feel that you've got things under control, your body or mind might tell you something different. In my case, that's what it did, because I didn't think I was going to be overstressed. Even when I was at the grocery store, yeah, I was concerned that some of the, especially the clerks, weren't really getting 3 feet away from me or a meter. They were getting a little closer. And that, I guess, got my body and my brain reacting. And there we have it. So even though you appear to have things under control, sometimes the environment plays havoc on your body and on your mind. And that's another thing we have to deal with. And that's what I have to deal with. And that's what I am dealing with. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And by the way, if you happen to be struggling, you have no one to talk to, don't forget you can visit our Facebook page, our Twitter account, especially the Facebook page. We've had some good conversations as of late. And if you'd like to join us, feel free, or make a post on there just saying what's going on in your world, and you might have a problem that you'd like some opinions on, feel free to hop on that Facebook page. Here's the link. Just go to our webpage, at clubadhd.ca. That's clubadhd.ca. You'll find a link to the Facebook page, the Twitter account, a link to the Kadak website, as well as a link to me by way of email. It's all right there, clubadhd.ca. Okay, I got that business is taken care of. Let's get down to another piece of business. I mentioned in the previous podcast that we weren't able to provide you with our special feature, our regular feature called TNT Tips and Tricks, and I also mentioned that we will have it in our next podcast. Well, this is the next podcast, and without further ado, it's time for another edition of TNT Tips and Tricks right here on Club ADHD, the podcast. And now it's time for another edition of Club ADHD's TNT, otherwise known as Tips and Tricks. Here I am sitting in the coach's chair, your cordial ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc. Feels kind of nice. I'll do the best I can in this coaching chair. I've got something I'm sure you'll find interesting. I hope you do anyway. Here's my tip, trick, whatever you want to call it, for today. It's called, How Does It Feel? All right. You might be sitting in an area of your home where you're looking around and, well, you're not impressed. It's a mess. I know how you feel. Maybe it's not where you're at right now. Maybe it could be a bedroom, a living room, wherever. A garage. That you're not exactly pleased in how it looks. It's a mess. You wouldn't want to bring people in to check it out. Maybe some family members are aware of it. You don't want to be called a hoarder. But you're kind of on the fringe. It's just not where it should be. You're not organized. And if you're like me, you know what it's like to be organized, and you know what it's like not to be organized. And trust me, I can say firsthand, I like being organized better. But sometimes I kind of lose that organizational skill. It kind of drifts off and it gets messy again. That's another issue. Let's deal with the mess right now. Okay. So if you're not in that room, I would suggest once you're finished hearing this whole podcast, go to that room and look at it. And again, if you're like me, you're looking at something pretty miserable. It makes you miserable, right? Doesn't make you feel good. How does it feel? I feel lousy. All right. Hold that thought. Then leave that room. Go have a lie down. It could be on a couch, on your bed, whatever. Close your eyes. And it's now time to do something we ADHDers know all about. Well, most of us. It's time to daydream. Let's picture that room in our mind. Let's picture it the way we want it to be. Organized. Look around in your mind. Everything is where it should be. You're not ashamed to bring anyone in there. It's not about buying things to make it look better. No, it's organized. And now some of the things that were once in there are gone. Really useless stuff. It looks really good. How do you feel when you see that room in your mind? For me, it makes me feel, hey, I like this. I like that room like that. Now picture this. What would you do with that room looking like it does? Would you make some changes? Would you maybe create a different space in the corner for something? Organized, of course. Or would you just leave it as is? Think about it. Think about it. And think about it. Now, once that's done, open your eyes, go to that room, or even before you go to that room, jot down your feelings and how you felt seeing that room the way it should be. Did you feel happy? Did you feel that it was a certain amount of accomplishment? Whatever, just jot it down. And then take that paper, go to that room or that area, and put it up on a wall, and look at it. That is what I like to call inspiration, a little fire in your belly. Now, I realized I left one thing out. When you're jotting down those feelings, only jot down the positive feelings. No, I can't do this type of feeling. No, the positive feelings. How do you feel when you see that room looking good? So who's to say that you can't feel that way, that you don't deserve to feel that way? You do. So what's the next step? Okay, you're looking at it. It might be a big room, could be a small room, could be the garage. Take a small portion. You've heard this before, I know. Small bites. But it's true. Work out a section. It could be 2 feet by 2 feet, or 3 feet by 3 feet, or a meter by a meter, whichever way or how you calculate dimensions. Just pick a section. Then work on it. Clean it. Organize it. Get rid of the stuff you don't need. Now, of course, there will be decisions that have to be made. Do I really, really need this? I haven't used it in years, but you never know. And once that's done, it might take half an hour, it could take an hour, it could take 15 minutes, whatever. Look at that area, and then look at your list. I'm sure there's somewhat of a feeling that comes across at that little section that you cleared out that could be covered on that list. So what's the next step? You do another small space. You don't have to do it right away. You can maybe do something in the morning, in the afternoon. Yeah, many of us have some spare time these days with this environment that we're living in, right? Or maybe tomorrow. No more than 24 hours. Because if you go beyond that, procrastination easily sets in. And then do another portion of it. And before you know it, that area, that room is clean. You can look up at that list. And you can live the feelings that you posted, the feelings that were inspired by your daydream. How does it feel? And that's my tip/trick for today. Hey, if you want, you can list some of the challenges you had or maybe some of the accomplishments. Just checking out that tip, using that tip, and go to Club ADHD, the Facebook page. I'd be interested to see. And if you're having some challenges, we can deal with that too. And don't forget, yep, I've got my shingle out, if you want to call it that. Some people I respect in the ADHD world, both on the advocacy side and other parts of it, said, hey, why don't you go do it? Well, that's what I'm going to do. I've been coaching some people on and off, you know, just to help out people with Club ADHD, and I'll continue to do that. But I'm going professional too. I'll offer my service to you, and it's lower than the going rate. That's for sure. I want to cut you a break so that we're all happy about this. So if you'd like to check it out, why not contact me? Just go to clubadhd.ca. That's our webpage. We have all of the podcasts on that page, plus links to various places, including to me. Just hit the email link and we'll connect. We'll chat. Who knows? Maybe I can help you out. And that's my shameless plug. After all, I am in the coach's chair. And that's the edition of Club ADHD's Tips and Tricks, a.k.a. TNT, for today. And now it's time for the interview portion of the podcast. Up next, we have a person who is no stranger to Club ADHD, the podcast. He's also no stranger to those of you who are big fans of the Red Green Show, as well as History Bites, that formerly aired on the History Channel, as well as the Comedy Channel, and is now featured on YouTube. He's also no stranger to the comedy scene. Yeah, he's a comedian, all right. He's also an author and one hell of an ADHD advocate. Here he is, the one and only Rick Green. I started off our chat by asking Rick, so Rick, what's going on in your life these days?
Well, a couple of things. One is we've always worked at home, so totally ADD, the website we run from the house. So it hasn't changed, our work hasn't changed that much. The actual stuff that we're doing is very similar. The difference is, of course, the strain, the emotional, the pressure, and so on. And just reading a lovely article by a doctor researcher who's been involved in many of these kind of pandemic things and crisis situations all over the world. And it was as a really good message, and one that applies, I think, to everybody. But it's cut yourself, basically, I would say, he's saying, cut yourself some slack. We have days where we're chugging along and I'm active in the morning and Ava is, my wife, is sluggish. And at 11 o'clock, I just hit the wall and I go off a nap and she may find a burst of energy. And so it's back and forth. You really, this idea that, you know, just carry on. the world has changed dramatically. We're in this situation, and it's going to affect everything down the line. And I think even if it gets handled within 2 months, it's going to profoundly affect how people think. I think how people think and feel, the vulnerability that we're all feeling right now about our food supply, our appreciation, and it, of what it takes to get a can of beans to your house, the number of people involved and all the steps. And it's talking with some engineers and other people, they're saying, you know, there's now a consideration happening to maybe have some of our manufacturing moved back here. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, 80% of our pharmaceuticals come from China. And just watching a press conference this morning, the Canadian government has really good press conferences, and they're just calm and they take the questions and they answer them. But they were saying, you know, we are in this situation because we have ignored public health crises and preparedness, balancing the budget, right? Where do you cut? Well, do we really need 100,000 masks and so on? So the, you know, what she pointed to is when this is all over, there will be some rethinking and it will be good. And there will be a lot of things that I think people will be rethinking. Mm-hmm. The simplest thing is just companies that say, you know, you can't work from home are finding they can. People are, I know I'm connecting with family much more. In fact, Sure. Tomorrow we're getting together online. We've been doing that with friends, with family, and we're getting the whole clan together, or as many that can attend, and everybody's going to check in. Last night we were on with some of our best friends playing a dice game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
together.
Sure. Hop on Zoom or wherever. Yeah, it's totally possible. Do you find that you're doing things or connecting with people more now than pre-pandemic?
I think what I'm doing, connecting more, is doing the things that I'd always said I was going to do. Yeah. So, for example, I said, you know, we're scattered all over the province. Why don't we just Skype together or Zoom together or whatever? And we've never done that in 10 years or however many years. And now there's a reason to, and everybody was on board. So I think we're in this situation. You know, the word crisis has this meaning, or traces its definition back to Greek, I guess, or Latin, probably Greek. And it also means opportunity. And so this is an opportunity for people to try things they haven't done before.
Sure.
You know, I'm hearing from people who are taking the time to learn a language. They picked up their crocheting or needlepoint or guitar, whatever, that they haven't played for years, they haven't touched for years, and people are trying out new things. And I find all that's great, and I've been doing a bit of that myself and reading books again for the first time. Like really reading books as opposed to kind of skimming, which this is the ADHD thing, sitting down and actually giving myself 3 hours in the evening to really work my way through a book. So there's, I think the biggest thing is just making sure you're safe. And we've done that. We have enough food, partly because I think early on in this, when that first news story came out, and I don't follow the news particularly closely at all because
it's
so negative. Yeah. It's just, I remember being at the gym on the treadmill and watching the 24-hour news channel, and it was 6 dead in bus crash in Bolivia.
Right. And how many people survived driving down the road?
Yeah. Wife murders husband in Syria, wherever it was. None of it was within 1,000 miles of where I lived, and it was all bad stuff happening. Bridge collapses. So I haven't been watching much news, and I've lost my train here.
Well, you know, but the thing is, though, people feel guilty. One, that, I can't do those things because I'm supposed to worry about things. And worry, why worry about things that you have no control of? Worry about what you're doing right.
Yeah, it's noticing that what your brain is going to. What is the worry? And that for me, it's my kids. You know, mm-hmm. that's the the primary one, and family members. So that's where it goes first. And then that the answer for me is to just check in with them every day. Again, something that I would always say, I should be checking in with the kids more often. I'm doing that now twice a day sometimes, just seeing how they're doing, you know, making sure they are staying safe, which they are. They're, you know, they're self-isolated at their apartments and so on. So it's this is the opportunity to notice where does your worrying go and what does it tell you? And then to also look at it. And for me, it's always, you know, as a writer, you tend to go to what's the most dramatic or the worst case scenario. Or maybe I just did that and ended up becoming a writer because of that. But I think it's an opportunity to go, well, what's the best possible? And I'm hearing that from a few people. Well, what's the best possible outcome? Sure. Maybe it is in a couple of months. It is under control. People have come back. And there's a whole shift in how we view things. More people are growing food. More people are learning to do things that make them a little more self-sufficient. You know, I can do all these different things, a lot of different skills. And until last year, I realized I don't know how to sew a button on.
Oh.
My mom would do it or my wife would do it now. And I went, you know, I'm at an age where I should know. I mean, I can wire a house and I could plumb a house. I've learned a whole bunch of these skills.
But you can't sew a button?
So I don't know how it's done. I mean, I have a vague idea. You know, you push it through and you pull it and you push it through. And so... So I got online and learned how to sew on a button.
And button actually, 101.
Yeah, repaired a couple of my old red-green shirts and went downstairs with a grin on my face saying, look what I did. You know, like I was 7 years old. And
the Amish are impressed.
And my wife was genuinely impressed. It was like, so I've always been a big fan of being self-sufficient. And I had the opportunities because of my brothers renovating various properties and my one brother becoming a full-time contractor. I got to learn a ton of stuff about construction, some basic stuff. I don't know everything. And you'd probably want an inspector to check what I've done.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do to get it. You know, I saw, well, I measure about 10 times. I saw 11, and then I just run out of money and run out of wood.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think this is, you know, the thing to do is to cut yourself some slack, honor what your body is telling you, trying to push through and take advantage of this time. Is really, that's great if you can do it, but most of us can't, I don't think. And I don't know that it's, you know, people will say, well, I've always dreamt of having time off where I could go and do, you know, I could learn to sew a button on or learn another language or learn to play the harp or whatever it is. It's like, yeah, that was a vision for when you retired and there was no pressure. We're all under this incredible pressure. We're all under this level of uncertainty. There's a thing called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it's basically you can't worry about whether you're in the ideal career if you're starving. There's a pyramid of first you've got to have safety and then you've got to have food and water and there's a list and it goes down. And at some point then you can get to the point of worrying, am I a good parent? But that's way down on the list of our needs that we psychologically need to be able to function. And if you look at that list, it's a lot of those basic things they feel uncertain and thus the rush on toilet paper. And lost in all of that was the fact that it was somebody posting something stupid that took off.
Well, yeah, it just took off. And people
same
saw.
Thing happened in, yep, same thing happened in the 70s. Johnny Carson made a joke because an obscure government department put out a report saying that the government is going to run out of toilet paper in 3 months unless we order more. And they ordered more. But Johnny Carson picked up the headline and said we could have a toilet paper shortage as a joke and made a joke about it. And it went nuts. And this was in 74, 75. He eventually went on the air and apologized. He was saying there is no... But you know what it's like now? People go, yeah, well, he'd just been forced to say that, and the deep state is hiding our toilet, whatever.
Well, yeah, the conspiracy theorists come out of the woodwork, yeah. And it's all a big, yeah. You know, us against them. The way I look at it is that I have the feeling that someone with ADHD is going to find the solution to this, if anyone can.
Well, I think they. So many people already are.
Yeah.
There are so many people in Smith Falls, Ontario, a guy who works at the hospital there, small town. They have one ventilator. He figured out a way, very red-green, jury-rigging parts from a hardware store and some other things, and it now can work for up to 9 people.
Wow.
And, you know, General Electric and GM, I think it's GM or Ford, one of the companies, are planning to have 50,000 ventilators mm-hmm. produced by July 4th. And immediately someone said, but they say they're not going to distribute them unless they have legal, you know, because they're not necessarily tested all that well. They want to
Yeah,
and it's like the yeah, but it's like, yeah, and they'll work on that. But it's, you've got to, I think the biggest thing you can do is not to panic and not to pass on or not to look at the worst possible
And I did the math yesterday. I was watching CBC and they reported that 33 people passed away from the virus in Ontario, but they also showed the amount of people who were infected. I did the math. It came out to just over 2%, meaning 98% didn't die. Now, you know, but we still focus on 33. And we just got to get our mind off of that.
And you've also got to get, so the province of Ontario, say it has 8 million people. Let me get my calculator here. So 8 million, let's see, 8 million divided by, oh, no, that's the remote control. Here we go, this piece. So 8 million divided by 33 equals, so 242,400. So it's basically 250,000 people have died.
Yeah. So
that's now. And how many have gotten sick? Much more than that, probably.
Well, it was like 1,700. It was like 1,700 or something. But the way I look at it is that, does that mean that there's been a catastrophic accident down the street involving 2 cars? Does that mean I shouldn't drive? You have to put it in a perspective.
Yeah, and I think if you're taking all of the precautions and everything I've read, if you're self-isolating, if you're using soap, hot water and soap, it doesn't have to be sanitizer.
No,
it doesn't
that
have to be
usually
alcohol,
doesn't work.
And it's not a bacteria, so it doesn't have to be antibacterial. Just really washing, getting under your fingernails, like you see the doctors do in the medical shows with a brush and so on, wiping down the surfaces. There's a variety of things you can do. And now I get that people are still having to go to work. And
my wife included. She works at Costco.
Right. And, you know, those who can't self-isolate, are then they're taking as many precautions mm-hmm. as they can. But anyway, I as someone who grew up with a very anxious mother and developed a lot of anxiety myself, I can tell you that just grounding myself constantly, I'm a very different person than I was 20 years ago. When my kids were young, anything happened, I was convinced that I was going to lose one of them. And it was just, they had a fever. You know? So
well, that's what we, the way we think.
And it would go.
We think that way, though.
We are. And there's a reason we do. The people who worry a lot, you know, in prehistoric times, the ones who walked along going, is that a snake? Oh, it's a stick. Is that a snake? Oh, it's a stick. Is that a snake? They survived because eventually, is that a snake? It's a snake, back up. Whereas the people who went, yeah, it's probably just a snake out of the corner there, or probably just a stick. There's a lot of sticks. This is a sticky area. And bam, one of them turned out to be a snake. So we're hardwired for this. We're hardwired for, until basically 100 years ago, most of the world was vulnerable to famine. We don't get what it was like, you know, in ancient Rome, the empire. Yeah. And there were years when a plague or a famine would hit for 2 years in a row and 5-10% of the population, like millions of people would die. We're in such a better place right now.
Oh,
we have so much more understanding and so on. And that's why the biggest thing you can do is just to stay cool, stay calm, focus on what you can control and what you can't. And that's, for me, that's what I've been doing. And I work when I can, and when I feel overwhelmed, I take a break. Yesterday, I think I was out of bed for probably 10 hours total. I'm going to go lie down again and thump. And out. I didn't fall asleep. I just got waped out. The world is shifting.
Sure.
And it's going to, you know, people said it's compared this to a war. A war is a frightening thing. But the potential coming out of this is to have a very different world that is...
I think we'll have a better world. For whatever reason, how long it'll last, I don't know. Usually we bond together in crisis and then kind of drift apart. But the way I think of it right now is that I'm reminding people, your lives continue. You're not getting a chit for these months saying you get a bonus extension on your life. We still have to live. We can laugh. We can have a good time. We can be concerned. We don't have to worry day in, day out.
No, and we can cry. If we need to cry, we cry.
Sure.
You know.
No crying here, though. I'm out of tissue.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Well, you go to the dollar store, and there's so much. Just being proactive, and the biggest way to get yourself out of the worrying is to be able to do something, to help someone else, to check in with other people. That's what we're hard... We're hardwired to help people. We just are. Somebody collapses in the middle of a street in the city, people run to help.
Yeah.
People check, are you okay? And we're wired that way. So anyway.
So what have you got coming up? Anything new and exciting? I know since you are working at home, you must have something going on with Totally ADD. What's happening?
Yeah, we've through a service called Patreon, people can become patrons.
We spoke about that before,
Yeah, $3 a month all the way up to, there's some people, one person, a couple, that are up at the $100 level a month.
Son of a gun.
Because they know the work that we're doing and the impact it had on them. But there are many people at the $3, $5 level, whatever. And we're doing live chats. I'm creating new videos.
Good.
And I'm able to do that for the first time in years because we have patrons. So there's an amazing community of people that are sharing and supportive. People who get it. Are the best, right? We understand. We have this great compassion for each other. So I love that.
I do too, Rick. We ADHDers, we're very compassionate. And it's true. I love that as well. Now, how about a shameless plug when it comes to web addresses?
Well, there's totallyadd.com. And the other thing I should mention is the TV series that I did, History Bites.
I saw that.
The only show that was on both a comedy network and a history network. And it's we have a YouTube channel for that, History Bites Official. And anyway, it's called History Bites, and there's a YouTube channel. And it's pretty funny.
And that was our chat with the one and only Rick Green. Round of applause for Rick. And when you're on his website, feel free to participate in the Patreon side of things. Yeah, that's where you can financially support him and his endeavors when it comes to ADHD awareness and helping people with ADHD. He does a great job. His team, top notch. Round of applause for his team, Rick Green. Well, that just about wraps things up for this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. Don't forget to visit our supporter, our presenter, otherwise known as the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. When I say visit their website at cadac.ca. That's cadac.ca. There are things on there I'm sure that you'll find helpful. And don't forget to visit our webpage. That's clubadhd.ca for all the links when it comes to Club ADHD. And a complete list of all our previous podcasts. And oh yes, you can click on the link to moi if you'd like to pass along any interesting observations. Please, no bad ones. I can't handle it. Or if you'd like to check out how I can help you, just go to clubadhd.ca. That's about it for now. Hey, we've got some catching up to do, so we'll have another Club ADHD, the podcast, coming up in about a week's time. I'll tell you what. I already have the interview done. It's a good one, as they all seem to be. I'm very thankful about that. Hey, before I leave, I've got to remind you that I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc. And please, wherever you can, whenever you can, say it loud, say it proud, ADHD is real. And please, be safe. Have a great day, and we'll catch you again real soon.